So we're at Cranesville Swamp in Preston County, West Virginia. And this is a place that's pretty well known by people that are nature lovers, birders, botanists, things like that.
Mike Powell, kind of stewardship manager for the Nature Conservancy, explains that the swamp is kind of a natural relic left over from the last ice age some 15,000 years ago. It's preserved in what's called a frost pocket, where because of the elevation, the level of precipitation, climatic conditions, and a couple of other key factors, a very unique ecology exists. Today, it's home to rare snails, artesian wells, carnivorous plants, and a bunch of hemlock trees. Hemlock trees are what's known as a keystone species, meaning they are fundamental players in the forest ecologies where they grow, critical to the mountain water systems that they hug. Those that live in the eastern United States are sick and dying. Humans inadvertently introduced a tiny parasitic insect here called a hemlock woolly adelgid, which is native to hemlock trees in Japan. Since they were introduced in 1950, slowly but surely, tens of thousands of these evergreens across the East Coast are already dead.
If you're in Blackwater Canyon, looking down into the canyon, you can see hundreds or thousands of dead hemlock in the canyon. And hemlock in the eastern part of the state is largely dead on the other side of the Allegheny Front. There's pockets of good-looking trees here and there, but like Shenandoah National Park is believed to be almost hemlock-free at this point because all the hemlock there have died over time.
That's Tim Toman, forest entomologist with the West Virginia Department of Agriculture.
Yeah, I mean, the hemlock, the way it shades the forest or, you know, the area that it's in all year round, since they have their needles all year, they create a shaded environment underneath them. And in many areas of the state, it's growing over cold, high mountain streams, so it helps keep those streams cold. And in here, it's shading the forest. So when you come into parts of Cranesville and it's, you know, you've got big pockets of almost solid hemlock, yeah, when you lose that, it would definitely have a major impact.
The hemlocks grow 60 to 100 feet tall. And if you look at the underside of their needles, you can identify them by the white lines you see there. And if, while you're looking at the underside of the needles, you also see little white puffs near the base of the needles, you might be staring at little sapsuckers that are draining the life from the tree in your hands.
I had heard that, you know, when they insert themselves into the tree, they're effectively causing a wound that is stimulating the autoimmune response of the tree that sends energy to that wound.
Some of their close relatives that are actually injecting a chemical into trees, like the balsam woolly adelgid that causes that gouting on the tree. So I'm not sure if that's from the chemical or if that's a wound response, but
remarkably, in the decades we've been dealing with this whole woolly adelgid problem, we still haven't definitively figured out why or how they push the trees to death. All we can say for sure is that in 4 to 10 years, the trees succumb. Different techniques have been used to try and manage the problem, but Toman from the Department of Agriculture says this chemical pesticide is the most effective method so far. Now, there are a couple of ways to administer the pesticide. Toman and Powell and their teams of tree doctors will either bury pellets around the bottoms of the hemlock, or if there's a lot of water around, there's a more involved intervention, which requires a tree IV.
And you'll notice once we get this thing hooked up, you know, it truly has these little needle-like IV injectors that we'll put into the drill holes. And as long as the tree is taking up water right now, which it should be, you know, you'll see the insecticide quickly leave this jug and go through the tubes and eventually wind up into the tree.
So after choosing the trees that will most likely benefit from the pesticides, after measuring the trunk, taking the tree's temperature, hooking it up to an IV, and administering the pesticide, they tag the tree and move on to the next patient, tree.
What we're doing now is pressurizing the tree IV so that whenever we open the valves of those IV injectors, there's pressure behind it pushing that insecticide into the tree.
It's an involved, time-consuming, and expensive undertaking, but Mike Powell from the Nature Conservancy says it's totally worth it.
We've talked about these hemlock forests being, you know, filters for both the water we drink and the air we breathe. And, you know, not just hemlocks, but they're just one part of that more diverse forested ecosystem. And as we were talking about, you start taking away pieces of that puzzle, pieces of that forested ecosystem, and the ecosystem eventually starts to lose its functionality. It loses its ability to absorb, you know, the chemicals in the air and the things in our water. And that, you know, has long-term implications, not only for the biodiversity of the site, but also for the health of the people that are dependent upon these forests to provide those services to them.
Here at the Cranesville Swamp, which is on the border of Maryland and West Virginia, two state chapters of the Nature Conservancy, each state's Division of Agriculture, West Virginia's Division of Natural Resources, and the Forest Service have all come together to see to it that whatever can be done is being done to manage the problem. For West Virginia Public Radio, I'm Glynis Board in the Cranesville Swamp in Preston County.